It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
We do for an encore.
Well done. Well done. Hey, everybody. Welcome to UGASports.com. I'm your host, Roddy DeBulsey, joined by recruiting superstar Jake Roos and former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan. We're going to talk Georgia football for the next hour. We want to give everybody a chance to settle in. I know you're supposed to be at work. You know, go ahead and lock your office door.
kick the feet up.
Yeah, kick the feet up. Just hold all calls, or if you're out having lunch and you're catching it on your phone, try the number 4. I'm sure it's pretty good. We're here at Champy's on Baxter Street, home of the best fried chicken you can get. Also tamales, and I think we're going to have – we might even have a little catfish plate come out here. But if you get a chance – down, boy. When you get a chance, we're going to – when you get a chance, when you're in town, if you come in for that 7:30 game on this Saturday against Vanderbilt, you got all day to swing by Champy's and get yourself some fried chicken, take it to your tailgate.
You're going to need grub. You got to eat. Yeah. Eat before those 7:30 kickoffs.
So swing by if you get a chance. And I want to give a quick shout-out to Your Pie, because there's a bunch of Your Pie locations in town as well. If you want a pizza, I know it's not the standard fare for when you think tailgate, but if you want a great meal, swing by Your Pie and have one. And we'll also talk to you a little bit later in the show about Academia, our nice, fantastic brew company.
Where's your beer?
They're supposed to be bringing us a new beer today.
Outstanding.
So they got a new beer coming in here to Academia. So we're going to
really?
See. So we're going to try a new one here, hopefully in a bit. Also want to give a big shout out to Cable East, our friends out in Statham, Georgia, and 365 Game Day. We're trying to do some more with 365 Game Day. So if you get a chance, follow them on Facebook. I know you're on the 11 Alive page right now. It would mean a lot to us if you'd go ahead and like the 11 Alive Facebook page. We get to come on. We get to screw up their credibility, you know, all this hard work that 11 Live does. They let us come on their site and ruin it. And so the least you can do is give them a like for all your Falcons, Braves, Hawks, high school coverage, and great Bulldog coverage. So they you know, just like their page. But while you're at it, just click on 365 Game Day. They have a huge Facebook page. I think their Georgia Facebook page has like 300,000 members on it. So they share some of our stories over there, so give them a shout-out as well.
Do they still have a hookup for us?
No. Yes. Do they share us on their deal?
They do. They share this show on their page, so that gets it out to a lot of people. And if you got a chance, I know you're some people are like, well, I don't like listening to the ads at the beginning. We're not really doing ads. We're just thanking our sponsors because, the ads are coming later in the show. But if you get a chance, I'd love for you to share this with your friends.
Do they ever watch television?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have one of those play-through deals on our stuff.
Yeah, that's true. So if you get a chance, share this on with everybody.
You know the thing where they got the ads, but they keep a little bit of show on the side?
Oh, we don't have that.
Got to do a little fast here for you guys. But you know,
you're the TV pro. We only do it because we're forced to do it. So, and I also want to give a big shout-out to Aaron Overhead Doors, A-A-R-O-N. I know I run through that, and my enunciation is not clear, but it's Aaron Overhead Doors.
I like it.
Big sponsor of the show, big sponsor of the website, and big sponsors of our Georgia 321 report. I think in that last report, we mentioned that Georgia had to play a clean game. Just a little worried about the referees from, all the Missouri hullabaloo with the refs, and I said Georgia needs to play a clean game, and they mostly did, but still, Georgia has a 26-point win over a conference rival, over Tennessee, a team that had a 8-game winning streak against Georgia. And the fans acted, and some in the media, and a lot of people were very disappointed with a win over an SEC East rival. And I get it, because Georgia did play, from a penalty standpoint, they played pretty well. But that game felt like fits and starts, Coach. It just did not feel smooth. I put it this way. It did not feel like Georgia's best effort. And I guess when you're starting to get you're looking ahead to LSU, Auburn, Florida, Kentucky – I mean, even Kentucky's looking good now. I think people are starting to get a little nervous. They want to see Georgia put a complete game together. What were your thoughts on the game Saturday?
You know, when you look at the grand scheme of things, these lines that people put out before the game make it hard for a team to live up to
31 points,
dominating performance like everybody wants. And you got to realize that Tennessee's going there in the with the ideas of decided underdog. They're trying to shorten the game with their, you know, taking plenty of time and running the ball. You know, we haven't gotten off to a very good start in all three of our conference games. There's no question about that offensively. But we have been able to make up for it with special teams and defense. And in this game, just a couple missed shots would have made a lot of difference. But I thought we really got control of the game and stayed in control, except for that one little problem there in the middle of the third quarter. But overall, got to play a lot of guys. We're still you know, in a situation where we're without the cohesiveness in our offensive line. When you lose a starter, every game we've lost a starter in a conference game, you know, so you got to keep moving them in. And our linemen are definitely coming around and getting some good depth, but I thought we broke on the ball good. We had one little miscommunication on defense that gave them a touchdown when we end up with a linebacker on a wide receiver, and that was a good call by Pruitt and their offense. For the fans there, they lined up with a slot formation into the boundary and a pro to the field, and instead of lining their running back in the slot, they took him and moved him to the outside and moved their receiver to the inside, and Campbell didn't recognize that, and he stayed on the corner, and that put our linebacker on the wide receiver, and our safety didn't cheat over the top enough, and just by alignment and execution, they got a touchdown on us, and that's a good learning curve for our defense too, for those younger players. But continue to be impressed with the way we prepare every week. I mean, we were out there and we were very physical, good tackling team. Our team tackles in space, and you know, it's just like that sheriff up in West Virginia that came up with the idea of always used to say it could be worse. Yeah. His name was Sheriff Bill, and every time something would happen, no matter what it was, he would always say it could be worse. Well, one time these two deputies went out in the and were called out into this area of a trailer park, and there was a man and woman laying in bed, both dead, and a guy sitting on a chair beside him with a gun to his head, and he was dead. And the sheriff deputy said to the other one, said, "Look, here's what happened. This guy came home, found his wife in bed with this other guy, shot them both, killed himself, double homicide and a suicide." He said, "We'll just cut it up here, you know, close it up." He said, "No, we got to call Bill in. This is a big deal." He said, "I don't want to call Bill in. All he'll say is it could be worse. It could be worse." He said, "We got to do it." So they bring Bill in and take him out to the place. And he said, "Look, here's what happened. Bill, man, came home, found his wife in bed, shot them both, killed himself, double homicide and suicide. Let's close it up." He said, "Nope, we can't." He said, "Why?" He said, "It could be worse." He said, "Why is that?" He said, "That guy would have come home yesterday. That would have been me in bed."
Well transitioned.
So that's it. Could everything could be worse? Yes. But you know, realistically, our team is our fans, me, you, all of us want us to be the same team we were last year.
Yes.
All, you know, right out of the box, and you know, we just got to look at those guys Sunday, what they did in the NFL. We haven't made many explosive plays this year. Some in the passing game, but not really long in the running game, and we're not really making a lot of first downs. But I think this is going to be a good week to build on and get ready for a really tough test next week. This will be a tough test because our coaches will remind that this team beat us 2 years ago because we lost it. We had poor kick returns. We didn't cover kicks. We had over 200 yards in the kicking game, outgained them everything, but they still won. So that's going to be on Kirby's mantra this week. Hey, we got to play to our standards, and I think our team's going to do that.
What do you attribute, though, this the slow starts to? I mean, is there any one thing or a couple of things that we can point to and say, well, here's what's going on. Here's the issue right now.
Well, sometimes, you know, you get a penalty. Sometimes you get a drop pass. Sometimes you get an overthrown pass. Sometimes you get a missed assignment. We're not a real good blocking team on pass protection yet. We said that going into the season. That's going to be an area. And I know Roddy covered that very early in the year when he talked about our run defense and our pass protection. But I think overall, Jake hasn't had the first half that he's had in the second half, that's for sure. And but a lot of that's not his fault. A couple of these sacks are not his fault. I mean, one of the interceptions wasn't his fault, where a receiver went the other way. But you know, you get a couple fumbles and you get a couple lost yardage plays and you don't make first downs, then you get a couple overthrown or drop passes. So we just got to execute better. I'm talking like Coach, we do have to execute. That's the difference between offense and defense. You can play great defense and one guy mess up and nobody sees it. But if you make a mistake on offense, everybody sees it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how much we can generate some big plays this week. That's what we got to do.
Real interesting question. We'll hop right in here with a couple, and I think that this one bears asking because it's something we talked about a lot in our postgame show, the idea of consistency in Georgia, trying to find that with, you know, whether it's a hot hand in the running back or you know, consistency in the passing game. Chris Metcalf wants to know, he says, do y'all think we are playing so many quality players that it's limiting our consistency? Are you rotating so many guys in that that's having an effect? Coach, I'll throw it to you first.
Well, sometimes it can hurt you a little bit on cohesiveness because you get used to playing with some certain guy or throwing to a certain guy. But I think at this point we have some people that do things better than others. Some guys might be a better blocker as a receiver. Some guy might be a better deep route runner. So we do have enough competition that we can maybe substitute for that. But he makes a good point. That's, you know, and we sub a lot at running back for sure. And last week we did at quarterback. But I just think it's just a case of not making enough first downs to really get a lot of plays. We're just not running, you know, the number of play. The more plays, the more times you go to bat, the more hits you're going to get. The same way with running plays and passing plays. But
I think it's a chicken.
But here's the thing that I would just say, and everybody busts me like you always do on this. We're just not as good as everybody thinks we are yet, but we're getting better.
Yeah.
We are getting better, but we're not – a wrecking ball offense at this point. I mean, let's be call it like it is. And if you want to get mad at me for saying it, I told you when the season started, it's going to take a little while. And, you know, we might not ever get as good as we need to be by the end of the year. Who knows?
I'm mad at you now. I'm not even going to wait till later.
But, you know, some of these people that my friends tell me got great memories, and anything I've ever said for 20 years, they go back and say that what I've said and projected. Hey, that's okay. That's all right with me. If you want to do that, that's fine. Bust me up. But I'm just trying to help you and protect Kirby. I think he's doing a terrific job with our team. And, you know, we've come a long way since 2 years ago when we were sitting in here after losing to Vanderbilt.
This is true.
And we got a long way ahead of us. And it's just we're just not where we need to be on a national scale right now, but I think there's plenty of time. I mean, who would have thought 2 weeks ago when Notre Dame almost lost to Wake Forest and everybody's talking about, well, they got it right now. I mean, they didn't almost lose to Wake to Vanderbilt. They would have said, hey, Vanderbilt's a good team, but, you know, I don't know if Notre Dame's a playoff team. Now everybody's got Notre Dame in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Well, you know, they beat Stanford, but I liken it this way. When you look at your outside linebackers, you look at your inside linebackers, you look at your running backs, you look at at least one guy on the offensive line, nobody on the defense, nobody really in the secondary. Well, maybe one guy in the secondary. These are all guys who were on the team last year that were second team, third team. There was a better player ahead of them. Now, was that player better physically or was that player better due to experience? I think it's the latter in a lot of those cases. I think you have better players coming up who are more physically gifted, but they haven't had the time. Tyson Campbell's had 5 games. In his 5th game, Tennessee basically, I don't want to call it a trick play, but they change their alignment up. You see something unusual. Like you said, your running back's out there, you know, way out wide, and he's like, well, that's my guy. And he doesn't realize that all of a sudden the wide receiver's in that slot position. He gets tricked. Will he get tricked on that again? I doubt it. You know, you can do it once.
I'd rather it happen when you had 24-0.
Yeah.
But I think you make that point, too. And I'm just going to interject one thing here. Our team, though, certain guys that are playing as young players are playing at a higher level than people give them credit. I think Tyson Campbell's playing at a pretty big level right now. He's had a couple shots beating him over the top, but – you know, like the play that he got caught for interference on. If the guy hadn't have fallen down, that wouldn't have been interference because he broke on the ball like the ball was going to be thrown there, and the guy didn't get there, so he got there a little bit ahead of the guy because the guy fell down. Hey, you can't help that. That's going to happen. But we can gee and haw and ye and y'all about this all day. But hey, let's take a reality pill. We're ranked higher than probably anybody thought we'd be when the season started right now. So let's go for it.
Yeah, and you've had you're almost averaging 40 points. Well, yeah, you are averaging over 40 points a game. So all the Chaney haters can say, look, you know, I mean, it's the same thing with Mike Bobo when he was averaging 42 points a game. People were mad at Mike. You just get used to the fact you're going to be mad at your offensive coordinator. Your second-string quarterback is always going to be better than your first-string quarterback. Your offensive line never blocks enough. They never impose their will enough. And the defensive line
and nobody
either can't stop the pass or can't stop the run, regardless or irregardless or whatever you want to call it.
Don't get a pass rush.
Yeah, there's no pass rush. No matter what happens, if they're designed to take away the rush – I mean, take away the run, then they're horrible in pass coverage. If they're designed to take away the pass, they're horrible in run stopping. I get all that, but there are, to me, some legitimate concerns about going back to the rotation and the inconsistency. I asked this during the game, and I wanted your take on it, Coach. I don't understand this team's identity. And this is not a shot against Jim Chaney. It's just I don't understand what he's trying to do because it seems like there are times Georgia lines up and just pounds on somebody. And then the next play, they try something incredibly cute with the wild dog formation or the just an odd play that I don't follow. And I'm like, when across the board you're lined up and your guys are – I was watching Cade Mays and Andrew Thomas just destroy their men left and right. And then there were other times Solomon McKinley was running down the field. I'm like, guard play has been hit or miss at Georgia the last couple of years. But it seemed to get – in Saturday, they were killing it. And I'm like – why aren't you just going by? In other words, they were. I kept questioning the philosophy, and I couldn't get it. It seemed like it was too conservative at times and too cute at times. And so I'm like, in your opinion, what's going on?
Here's the deal right here. A lot of it has to do with what the defense is in. If they're playing, and certainly Jeremy Pruitt knows our players better than any coach will play,
Very true.
With his staff, the guys that were here and all that. So they play tendencies. They play – and so – sometimes your plays don't look as good because of the defenses they're in,
right.
And it's hard to pound the ball when they got the extra guys. So we're going to these RPOs or we're going to some of these passes, like the one time he threw it out to Godwin, nobody lined up on him, and they just weren't in sync about – you know, we used to have a play we'd call freeze, but if nobody goes out on him, you just take the ball and the guy widens out and you throw it to him. Well, we got a similar play there, and they just a little bit off there. That would have been it. And there's sometimes that compounds itself when you're not getting the flow. I go back to what I said in the original story part here. We just have we're not making enough first downs like we did last year where you can improvise a little bit, whereas 2 years ago, by that improvise, maybe use some special plays or do some things to take a shot. And I go back to 2 years ago, that was our MO all year. We never ran a lot of plays. We never made any routine plays. We're a lot better than we were 2 years ago at that, but we didn't make a lot of third and twos. When we did a waste down, then we didn't make many first downs. So if we could just start making a few more first downs, and the bottom line, I would say, is a few more explosive plays where every play is not life or death.
Yeah.
You know, where you're trying to keep to possess the ball and all that. So I can see that happening, though. I can see Ridley breaking them, Hollum. I can see that happening. And it looked to me like as the game progressed the other day, Swift got a little more confidence, and the last run he made looked a lot more like Swift last year than this year when he planted his foot and made the cutback. Maybe that'll help, and we'll see. But there's no question that everybody is a little concerned because you look at some of these other teams that we got to beat. But, you know, I'll take our team against anybody we're playing right now. I don't care.
Yeah.
Except for Alabama at the end of the year. But on our schedule, I like what we got. Our 70 men against their 70.
I can't agree more with the statements on DeAndre Swift. I thought last week he looked like he was back to speed, very much what we saw, or a lot closer to what we saw last year than what we saw against Missouri, South Carolina. Obviously, he coming off the groin injury, looks like that's healing up. I think that's going to be a huge boost to Georgia going forward because – as you said, they haven't had a lot of explosive runs. You've had a lot of pounding runs from Brian Harry and Elijah Holyfield. James Cook's done a couple of shifty things for you. But overall, I think the Swift's dynamic is something that nobody else in that room possesses.
And I would say this other thing here. In defense of Jake, you know, he's had some plays that it really would have helped him if guys would have, you know, he didn't throw the ball perfectly to Swift, but Swift should have caught the ball on the screen. And, you know, some of those plays add up to big yardage plays and all that. And we are setting a tremendous trap for some of these clowns that think that Justin Fields can't throw. They're saying, hey, boy, when he goes in the game, the defense is really going to watch out for just a run. Hey, I hope they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you right now.
That'll be fun.
I'm not going to make a lot of demonstrative statements here, but this guy is a lot. I'm not talking about – even minimal. He is a lot better passer than he is runner. Now, everybody's talking about how good he can run because we hadn't had him run. But this guy is a tomahawk. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a missile thrower and accurate. And people are making that analogy. Well, you know, he doesn't know the offense. Hey, the guy knows it back and forth. He could come in here and give you every play. And, you know, Jake knows it great too. But, you know, Don't get on online and start talking about, well, as soon as he learns the offense and all. Hey, this guy knows offense better than anybody out there except Jake Fromm and Jim Chaney.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, he can do it. But Jake knows it, too. I was taking up for him. He just got to get some help. But don't be giving me this stuff about, hey, when we put him in, we're limited and all. I guarantee you. Did you see what Jeremy Pruitt played when he went in the game? Hey, all of a sudden it spread out. There's nothing but base defense. I mean, you can't play all that stuff against this guy. He breaks the line of scrimmage, it's over with. And anybody says he made a dumb throw, throwing the ball for an interception, everybody in America throws a ball on second down when he first of all had the acumen to get a guy to draw off sides.
Exactly.
And then hey, what do you got to lose? Go for it.
Sure, right. Sure. Why wouldn't you?
I mean, it's a free play. You throw towards the end zone. That was the only route that was, I think, was being run on that play. Yeah. So you throw to that guy.
I didn't mean to get so chapped up there.
No, I
want to defend our quarterbacks. I think, but I feel good about
both
of them.
Quarterback, man.
I like them when they go in. I like both of them playing. I mean, I think they both bring a lot to the table, and it's – too bad for Jake that Fromm's here, but I mean that Fields is here. But at the same time, you got to use him.
Yep. And I learned my lesson when I first saw Justin. I'd been hearing about this dual threat quarterback and how big he was, and see, okay, this guy, you know, he's a runner. Now that guy, I don't think the first game I watched him, I don't think he ran it at all.
Yeah.
If
he was just a running quarterback, we would have a lot different plays when he goes in the game. We run the same offense with him as we do with Jake. Yeah. We've seen Jake pull the ball and run. But we don't have a lot of quarterback runs for him. We do the same passing game.
Well, you don't need to be in a situation Clemson's in right now, so you don't need to run those quarterbacks a whole lot. I don't think that's a good idea. I
was happy for Bryce, though, the other day that he could come in and play like that, weren't you? The kid, the second team quarterback, what was his name?
Chase Bryce.
Chase Bryce.
Out of Grayson, a guy I really liked coming out of high school. Yeah. I think he did a nice job the other day.
He waited in line and got his shot.
Absolutely.
We're big fans of Chase. He came to the Rivals camp when he could have gone to the Elite 11 camp and actually lit it up, was in a quarterback competition. He did a fantastic job. So congrats to Chase, kid who grew up, 45 minutes from here?
Yep, absolutely.
And Jake told me to look out for him. He did. And Jake also told me that, this kid Justin Fields, well, you and Dan.
Yeah.
Because Dan's known. Didn't Dan coach him in eighth
grade? He did. He coached him, in middle school.
Dan McDonald.
He coached him in basketball.
Good.
Yeah, and he was like, this kid's an unbelievable athlete.
And he tells us when the kid's like in seventh or eighth grade, you need to keep an eye on Justin Fields. We're like, okay, Dan, whatever. Yeah, we learned our lesson the hard way there. Speaking of lessons learned, I want to give a quick shout-out to Academia. They don't have it here yet. It's coming, though. They have a new beer. Of course, they always have 100 new beers, it seems. But this one I'm really excited about, and I think Jake will be too. They have a new one called Take It to the Max 2, M-A-C-S. Take It to the Max 2.
Ooh.
And it's the second volume of a double IPA they made earlier this year. Now, it's named for their head seller, man. So Take It to the Max 2 is a 9.6% alcohol by volume beer, double dry hopped with El Dorado and Denali hops for aromas and flavors of tropical and stone fruits. It has a low perceived bitterness and is a great beer to enjoy during the game this weekend.
I bet you it is a great beer to enjoy during the game this weekend.
Yes.
be careful with that 9.6. Those are hitting like a bullet. So
first quarter only. After that, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Make sure to get out there to Academia, though. They got a ton of great food specials as well to wash that down and to kind of help that settle on your stomach.
Yeah, and actually, if you want to go out there this Thursday night, they're doing a percentage night, which is going to benefit the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences. So all food and beverage proceeds from 5 to 11% will support the cause. And they want to thank all the Georgia fans who have been coming out watching the game. So if you want to swing by, because, again, we have that 7:30 game, you can pick up their Crowlers. It's a 32-ounce beer like this, you know, in a can, like a Crowler can. So swing by and pick up one from Academia and try this Take It to the Max 2.
I definitely will be doing that.
Yes. So that, we were kind of hoping they said they might be able to get it out here for us today. 9.6, my friend.
I assume they're all just hanging around the shop enjoying the fruits of their labor.
I'm just probably going to let y'all have that the last 10 minutes so we can finish the show.
Just get them out the door and drink there.
A lot of questions coming in here, Coach. I want to hit you with a few of them. I'm going to kind of ball a few in from several people because it's sort of the same idea. A lot of people are talking about the passing game in the middle of the field, between the hash marks and what's going on there. Ronnie Brown says, is it a lack of passing game? Is our lack of passing game between the hash marks a product of guys not getting open, or is it just the route? Ab Harding says, why isn't Fromm throwing more to the middle of the field and utilizing more of the tight ends? What do you think's going on with this passing game down the middle? Because that's some people are making the point, smartly so, that it's making it a lot more difficult to get those runs up the gut as well.
You know, one of the things that happens in orchestrating or formulating your plan to throw the ball, over the middle is the hardest place to throw because you got the most underneath coverage, you got the most disguise between the safeties, and it's a risk-reward there. And most of our passes right now are outside. They're exactly right because most of the defense is set up to stop the run because we're an inside zone running team, a power running team. So they're spinning people down, so you get a lot more people in the middle. So the way to hit them is over the top down the middle where you fake up there.
Which we've seen.
We see Charlie 34, Charlie 35. Charlie's a play action pass. Or you throw the RPOs on the outside where you got to run and then you got some kind of, which we explained the first show, on the outside the receivers are running the route. But the thing about the tight end, I'll get back again, is with our tight ends being so heavily involved in the blocking to help our people that got those 8-9 man boxes, they're playing them man coverage so you don't get near the separation with a tight end getting knocked around at the line of scrimmage to get open early enough as he does on a zone with a free release. So it's an age-old problem. We had it last year with Sony and Nick. We didn't throw the tight end much because everybody's ganged up to run. We threw the outside routes, the whims, the fades, the back shoulder, all that, because that's the way the defense is playing. So I don't see us throwing the ball over the middle a lot with Fromm, but when Fields is in there, you might see a little more because you'll see a lot less gang up on the run because they got to worry about the backside. So that's the way you've seen Fields hit a couple to gnawed up over the middle.
Explain that to me. They're worried about the backside. Give it to me.
Well, let's just say that you're the backside linebacker or the backside end, and we're running a true flow play to your left or my right. Well, you're not worried about the quarterback keeping the ball out the backside a whole lot with Fromm in there as much as you would be Fields, because they're going to say right off the bat, you got to really contain this guy. So they're going to really stay at home a lot more and maybe not pursue as quickly to the front side. You know, backside backers and weak safeties and people like that, by that I mean free safeties, that come in over the top and get in the alley, they can make plays to the strong side because it's hard to block those guys when they're going like that. So I think maybe with Fields you might see a little bit more of over the middle stuff because you won't see as much gang up on the run. Even though he might run the ball, but his runs are going to be away from the flow.
Okay, makes sense. I just wanted to be sure I was following you there because, you know, I only know about a third of what I should know.
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question.
You don't even know a third.
Dude, come on, man. I was trying to be polite, you know. I'm trying to give myself a little bit of credit.
All right, another couple questions in here. Let's see. I wanted to make sure that I get the name right on this one because I thought it was a very good question. Tom Gross wants to know, Cade May has been all over the field for these Bulldogs. He says, Coach, how did you think he filled in at that right guard spot for Ben Cleveland?
You know, I really like Cade. I like his aggressiveness. I like his demeanor as an offensive line. I mean, he
mean as hell.
he likes to get after. He likes to compete. It was a big deal, as we said on the show last week, for him to go against a team that he had committed to in the ninth grade, and he really came in there and did a good job. Now, you know, you're not going to get a pure block every time as an offensive lineman. I mean, people are going to move around, and it's hard to grade out. I mean, you know, in the 80s and 90s, like Andrew Thomas did last week, but I just think point of attack, the fact that here he is going into his sixth game of the year as a collegiate freshman. It's only been, you know, last year he's playing high school football, and he's already started three, started two conference games and came in and played a lot in the third one. So I'm high on Mays. I think Wilson's doing some good things. I think overall our line is getting better, but as we make more first downs and more explosive plays, everything won't be quite as minute and scrutinizing them, because you tend to have a tendency to see what they do wrong when you have a bad play. You know what I mean? There's more chances to see that.
I want to jump in on that real quick, because and I hate to bang on the fans, but I was asked this question.
No, you don't.
Yeah, that's true. I make fun of everybody when I get a chance. I was asked this question about Georgia's defense, and it was that second touchdown where the guy catches, kind of runs through the defense, no one really touches him. And the question was asked, what's wrong with Georgia's defense? And I'm like, you're taking one play. And granted, that first touchdown was, you know, kind of a busted assignment. You know, sure. I get it. But that became the definition of Georgia's defense, was that second touchdown late in the game.
Chad Morris looking-alike right here. Yeah. Instead, seriously, look at this guy. Yeah, you're right. Is Chad selling programs now? Excuse me. How you doing, Chad?
But I thought it was interesting, and this was by somebody in the media, you know, saying, Georgia, is this a one-off of Georgia's defense, or is this the trend for Georgia's defense? And I said, no, Georgia's defense, because the guy had scored almost untouched. And I'm like, Georgia's one of the best tackling defenses I've seen. And actually, when we went back and looked, I think Georgia is either tops or the top three in the nation in yards after the catch, in yards after contact, the least amount allowed. And, Coach, you said earlier in the show, it's a good tackling team. And, you know, you talk about execution. I know that's boring.
It's a perfect storm play. The guy threw the ball on the edge. We got caught up in the wad inside, and the guy missed it. Overran the play, and the guy cut back. Take it easy, yeah. Chad.
But, yeah, it was a good play. But that was the thing. I was like, you had two good plays. You had both. To me, they had three good plays in the whole thing. They had the first run that picked up 17 yards. Then you had two touchdowns. And to me, if you're going to hold another SEC team who's – when we compare the star rankings, you know, the players they have versus the one Georgia has, everyone says that, you know, Pruitt inherited a bare cupboard. That's bull.
That's not true.
That team has a lot of good players on it, especially on defense. So, you know,
just not a lot of depth. They got some good.
It's the
first
same with
line.
South Carolina. It's the same with Kentucky. Your first 22 are pretty bloody good.
And I think,
you get to 44 and 66, and you're thin.
Now, yeah, and I think some of the concern too is the development that those guys have had. Yeah. A lot of those guys haven't necessarily lived up to the rankings, but they're guys with the ability and with that athleticism.
Exactly. Well, you know, you go, and I will tell you, when you have those guys and you have Schaefer up there, and you have Tracy Rocker up there, and you have John Lilly up there, and you have Jeremy Pruitt up there. Those guys are going to take those players and make them better. I've seen it firsthand.
You're talking about Friend instead of Schaefer?
I mean, I
just want to make sure.
Nah, sorry.
They've hired Justin Schaefer as the offensive line coach.
Nah. Right. You have a
just make sure our fans are.
When you have those guys up there, they're doing a fantastic job. They know what they're doing. So I like what Tennessee put on the field, but your defense only gave up, you know, to me, three kind of big plays, and a lot of it was the fact that they were tackling so well, and they've been doing it all year. And even with your freshmen out there, your new guys, all the rotation you're doing, Tay Crowder's dropping guys when he first hits contact. You know, Juwan Taylor's dropping guys at first contact.
Well, getting Monty back was big last week.
That was huge.
I mean, yeah. Just getting them lined
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
But you make a good point. It's not just two plays. But no. Here's the thing about what I've seen with most people. I would say that, for the most part, just about every fan, if one of these beers would come up here and talk about half full or half empty, everybody would say half empty. I mean, yeah. You're just going to find something wrong with everything, and that's okay. That's the way to do it. But I think our team is not as good as we want it to be, but it's not anywhere near a disaster like some of these guys think, you know, prophets of doom. But we're going to have a hard time running the table. Every team, there's not going to be many teams that can play enough to avoid losing, but hopefully we can, because, you know, we're going to be favored in every game, except maybe the one next week will be close now with their team. But
yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Let's just play one week at a time. Let's enjoy going against the Commodores and
it's homecoming, and folks. Come on, Friday, come on town.
7:30, come over here and get some chicken, go buy your pie, go buy Academia, get some beer, get you some 365 game day, and go get some Aaron doors. Hey, go for all that stuff.
Speaking of Aaron overhead doors, I know that a lot of, you know, we mentioned the fact that, you know, they won the Best of Gwinnett in 2016, Best of Gwinnett in 2017, the Gwinnett Chamber Pinnacle for Small Business Award finalist, Angie's List. A couple things you may not know about them. You can actually book online. So if you need them to swing by, you just go in, type in when you need them to come, and they can do it. So you don't have to actually, pick up the phone and call. So you can book online. You can also have them come out and do a free consultation. They don't, they come out, they'll look at your stuff. They don't charge you for that. I think that's a lot, because sometimes you get people come out and they will say, okay, well, our service call or our consultation
and
call is
60, here you go. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, $75 for you to tell me it's going to be $3,000 or whatever. So I hate that. But I want to bring up one thing. If you've ever had a door that needs service, repair, your problem with your door opener, the one thing I warn people away from is dealing with a door spring. It's one of the most dangerous things in your house. My brother worked at a different overhead door company. That was my first job, was with one that a lot of people have heard of. My job was sorting the springs, and I went out with him a couple times on repair jobs, and I actually saw him trying to take a spring off a door, and the amount of torque on those springs was ridiculous. He had a long piece of rebar that was sharpened on the end, and he was moving it to disengage the spring, and it shot that piece of rebar through the roof of the garage and up into the roof of the house. And he's like, that's the amount of torque on these springs. So just give you an idea.
That's what we need with short yardage. Yes.
Aaron overhead doors will not do that at your home. Yes. They will not throw a piece of rebar through your spring.
No, it was a spring,
like,
because it was a thing he's using to pry off the spring. And those springs have so much tension on them. Don't screw with those, folks. Just take my word for it. I've seen that. I also saw my brother impaled.
Give him the number. Get Aaron to go out there.
678-960-3360.
I got to go this way. Yeah, move my
678-960-3360. And if you get a chance, and just call out there and tell them, hey, thanks for sponsoring the show.
Exactly.
A huge Georgia fan. So, anyway, let's get to some more questions.
All right. A lot of coming in here. Ronnie Brown with another good one. He always hits us with a couple each week. He says, what are some of the improvements y'all are looking to see against Vanderbilt this week? What are some of the key things that you're hoping to see this team improve on?
Okay, I want to see some explosive plays on offense. I want to see a more consistent passing game from a standpoint of aiming points as far as bringing the ball in. From the offense, defense, I want to make sure we get aligned. We're going to see a lot of different formations. The Schumer kid's very smart. You know, his dad's an NFL coach. He's been around football a long time. They got a very sophisticated passing game. They're going to create some blocking schemes to help protect him, and we're going to have to adjust as the game. I want to see how we adjust. They're going to hit some passes on us, but, nothing big. And I want to see a completely different kicking game than we had against them 2 years ago. Just get it, keep our kicking game going and make sure of that. That would be the things I'd like to see improve.
I don't want to see any punts.
Okay.
To the point about a kicking game, I want to see Rodrigo continue. Has he only had one that wasn't a touchback, one kickoff?
I think two.
Two? I believe it was two.
And I think one of them was
kicked
short on
purpose. I think
it's
okay, though. I think you got to see how they cover.
Yeah, so, but I'm not worried about that.
We have an advantage, too, and, Coach Hankton was a coach at Vanderbilt, so we're going to have a good scouting report on their personnel.
That's very true.
I forgot about that, yeah. For me, I want to see in the passing game, I always say I want to like to see the tight ends get something. I think you've got a couple fantastic pass-catching tight ends. I know they do a great job blocking, and I understand that, you know, you got to have them in there because of what the defense is doing. But I still believe that there's – when you spread those guys out, get – you saw what happened when Isaac Nauta picked up a ball from 31 yards out and rumbled into the end zone. Hit him on that slant. Get him the ball in the seam and just see what he does. I'm not asking much, Jim Chaney, but give the man a couple balls. Show the world what Charlie Warner can do with the ball in his hands. Give it to Fitzpatrick. See what he can do.
Big Luke Ford, man.
Luke Ford, come on.
Fitzpatrick's redshirting, man. If they give it to him, it'd be a mistake.
Hey, he's got four games he can play in, Coach.
Oh, that's true. I guess so. Yeah, we got some guys that, like –
because I don't want to use them against Tennessee.
Bubble now that have already played four. How much are you going to let them play now? I mean, what's going to happen?
Oh, that is a good point. That's a good question.
Some of these guys are – you might start sitting a few.
Dre Busey actually points that out. He says, what do you guys think about Jordan Davis still playing at this point in the season?
Well, he can play one more. He's played three.
Okay.
I think he needs to play all year.
One thing about you, you say some what you think because you like it. The only thing I would say about that, we got pretty good depth there, and you know he does give you size, but you know he could definitely help us from that standpoint. But
well, I just think you're going to lose some guys this year in that senior class.
It'd be great to have him back. I know he has 4 years left.
Yeah, but
experience is relative.
Yeah, that to me, I just think that he needs the experience. He needs the grind. You know, I'd like to see him come back next year as a true sophomore, knowing he still has three games and knowing how Kirby Smart's recruiting the guys behind him. I'll say, hey, let him go because you're going to need him.
He's a guy that I think in the future you're going to have to lean on, particularly because you don't have a lot of guys built like that on your team. Nobody really does. I mean, if you could find a couple dozen of those laying around, that would be awesome. But all right, let's see here. What else we got? Steve Aronica wants to know, what's happened to D'Angelo Gibbs? Chadwick Ivory says, didn't see much at Gibbs against Tennessee or Walter Grant or William Poole. Are those guys healthy? I do think they're healthy. I just don't think it was a situation.
Here's what happened. You know, Tyreek McGee's back, and he's a star. He can play in there where both those guys were playing. You know, Poole was playing more, and so was Gibbs. When McGee was out. So I think he just has the experience and the knowledge and overall ability that, you know, these guys got it too, but, you know, you're going to go with a guy that's been around there when you're playing those kind of coverages. So I think that's more than anything. As far as Walter Grant, just the fact that Cox continues to just be a really good player there in the same position that DeAndre's playing, and it's hard to, Grant can play the other side too, but we're playing a lot more situational nickel and dime stuff where you don't have but one outside backer in the game, so that limits when Grant can get in there.
Chadwick Ivory here with another one for us, asking about some guys who've been missing. He said, where have Jay Hayes, Daquan Hawkins-Muckle, and Michael Carter been? Not seeing a lot of playing time for those guys in the middle of this defensive line.
Well, we haven't subbed as much as we used to, and I think the way some of these other guys are playing, it's hard for them to get in the game. I just think, Hayes is learning the system, and he knows it, but I don't know about the other two. But, we're getting some good play out of Clark and Rochester and Ledbetter and those guys inside, and also Barnett playing really good. So,
yeah, I'm very happy for Barnett, the guy who bounced around a lot. Right. And they bring him out to speak to the media all the time because, I mean, he's a fantastic team spokesman, if you will. So if you get to meet him, you know, through a fan day, I guess they don't even have those anymore, do they? But, you know, if you run into him around town and you get to meet Michael Barnett, you're going to find out this is a great
representative. Yeah.
Incredible representative for Georgia. And not to say that matters one way or the other on the football field. It's just I'm happy for a guy who said, okay, the team needs me on offense. He switched to offense. He had a run-in with a defensive line coach, comes back to defensive line, works his way back through the system, basically had a lost year and is still playing at a high level. But to answer the question, I always say this when you talk about the guys who are not playing, you know, about what about Demetrius Robertson? What about, Trey Blunt or what about, you know,
Matt Landry,
Trey Bishop, anybody that's not on there, who are you pulling to put him in? Because if you're taking Tyler Clark off the field, that's a bad idea. If you want to take Julian Rochester off the field, that's also a bad idea. And I thought Dane Young had a good point. point about how – I mean, was it Dana or Trent? Talk about how Rochester was moved around a lot in this past
yeah,
game.
Yeah, actually, we had a question about that. Somebody wanted to
know
so
they – I told Rochester getting a you know bunch of different spots.
I'll answer that when you finish.
Yeah, but I just think if you're going to pull Ledbetter and guys like that to bring in somebody else – and that's not a shot against Daquan Hawkins-Muckle, who has really worked himself into probably the best shape I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
And Jay Hayes, you know, you can have – a Jay Hayes who mostly knows the system, we're going to have a Ledbetter, the guy who you've designed, who's grown up in the system.
Yeah.
You know, I think just if you have a guy that's a fraction of a percent better, well, Kirby's going to play the guy that's a fraction of a percent better. Now, they do rotate more, and we saw a lot more rotation last year, but I just don't know that pulling those guys
well,
is
Well, we said for the season
excited.
Starter we weren't going to have as much
true.
Rotation
you,
there
you,
because
you of, said that.
But not because we said it, but this reality is – if you just the fans would just listen for a second, you have offensive packages where you use two tight ends, three wide receivers, four wide receivers, two backs, two tight ends, and they call those different groupings. The same thing's true with our defense. We have our base defense, and we have our nickel and our dime. But in the process of getting into those, we will shift some guys to help our personnel. So a guy in a base defense might be lined up in over the tackle or, you know, outside the guard in a three technique. But when you go to a special defense like a nickel or dime, you take somebody out of the game, and then you take that person and put him in a position where he's even more effective, where he's not playing the team defense that you do with regular. So that's how you see a guy like Rochester moving around, playing in a different packages. I mean, overall, he's best in the regular defense at one position, but if you go to another defense that's scanning the field with different coverages and all, then you put him maybe on their weakest pass blocker and try to get a rush on him. Do the same thing with Walker, where you can move him out and then have the semblance that he's going to be out in space and then loop him inside. So we got a well-conceived defense. I mean, we really – do a good job of showing you one thing and then playing another. We're playing some bail coverage now, not all the time playing just press man. And I think we're setting some big traps for down the road, too, because we hadn't even shown one-tenth of what all we got to have to do. I mean, we hadn't been in a close game yet, so we got a lot of stuff in the cupboard.
I want to go back to the William Poole. Remember, he got the start, and D'Angelo Gibbs, who can also play that star spot. Coach mentioned, you know, Tariq McGee's basically your starter at that star spot. Tariq McGee, for a guy who's playing with a broken bone in his foot, is playing pretty
not
damn
bad.
Well. I mean, he is – what is it about these Peach County kids?
They
love to strike.
They're tough. If you ever met Chad Campbell, you would understand. The head coach down there at
right.
Peach County,
I mean,
that guy
kids,
scares the hell out of me.
Those guys just hit like they don't care if they die. I mean, they just kill each other. It's brutal. I mean, they run through people. And Tariq is not a big guy.
No.
You know, but
and you
he reminds me of Malcolm Parrish,
right.
Just being, I mean, he's going to fight you every step of the way. He's just.
The other thing is Webb is fighting for playing time, too.
I didn't even think
so
about
So you got
him.
Webb yeah. coming in there, so. It's hard to get in there. I mean, Campbell's playing good. Stokes behind them is doing a good job. You got Bake and you got those two safeties. Come on, man. Where are you going to put them?
I agree. It's very true.
I wish I hadn't said, come on, man. I'm not on TV. My bad. That's bad English.
We'll strike
Let's
that
go
from
on
the Facebook
to the next.
Live
what
feed.
Else we got?
This is a really interesting question because it's kind of apropos of nothing football related, but it's something we've never talked about, so
is
I think
Jeopardy?
It'll be interesting. Justin Stout says
– I answered Jeopardy question
Justin Stout
last
says,
night.
I'm coming to Athens this weekend, going to Sanford for the first time.
Are you serious? What
you
planet
me,
are you on?
Can you give me some good advice? Give me some good advice for, I guess, how you should spend the day leading up to it.
Got all day. I'd swing by Champions to get your tailgate stuff. Here's what I'd do. I'd swing by Champions to get your stuff for your tailgate, but actually have lunch at Academia. Because you're going to tailgate.
I dig it.
You start your tailgate around 2 o'clock.
You make it to Academia. So you might not make it out, though.
So you hit Academia about 11 o'clock, you know.
You get
and
the
then
Uber
about,
back downtown.
You swing by here at 2 o'clock to go set up your tailgate and have a fun time. But, no, if you're in town, I think, I mean, you've definitely got to walk North Campus.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to swing through. The campus is stunning, especially if we get some decent weather.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
I think you need to do that. You need to go from to me, if you can, I know it's kind of a walk, but I've always told people, you know, if you can park downtown for a game, you know, if you're not actually going to a tailgate, go through the downtown area. It's fantastic. Then walk across North Campus, down to the stadium. Swing by the bookstore, get all your gear, you know, that if you can't get it at 365 Game Day or Rivals, you know, if you actually want to walk into the bookstore, watch the dog walk.
Definitely.
Go into the game. When you leave the game, swing back by a tailgate or two, go back downtown, swing by Champions. You know, well, actually, by this game, it'll be over, but the place will be closed by the time the game's over. But
guy's going to be a lot of swinging.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a swinger. But I just think it's a
I like it. Where's that first guy from?
Let's see. I don't know. Justin didn't tell us that. It'll be interesting to find that out.
That's interesting. He's coming to the game. That's great.
He is. I think he's from St. Louis is what it looks like.
Show me. So,
hey, bring some Q39 with you.
There you go. There you go.
Show me steak.
No, I definitely agree. Those are all really cool things. Make sure, do yourself the favor, go downtown after the game. Just to see
that's
it.
What I'm saying.
It's not like the most fun you'll ever have, but to see that many people milling around that drunk is it's a spectacle to behold.
It is. That's why I say, but if you were to be able to park downtown and see the downtown area, you know, after you've swung by here and had your lunch, because I mean, some people coming from out of town, it's tough for them to set up a big tailgate. So you park down there, you see the downtown area, you walk through campus, you see all the tailgates, see beautiful North Campus, see the dog walk, go to the game. Go back downtown. That should be a fun time.
And then
that's a pretty good answer.
And then on Sunday, Chuck Ward says you should swing by Athens Ford and buy a new or used car with a lifetime powertrain warranty.
I like it.
Speaking of, thank you, Chuck. We need to give him a commission.
Yeah. Don't entice Chuck him. Ward, don't entice him.
But I do want to point out something for Athens Ford. You know, if you want to go out there and you can get this Raptor, you know, that's a fantastic vehicle. I love it. But we talk about all the free, the lifetime powertrain warranty and all their new vehicles out of Athens Ford. And we talk about the new cars and the used cars. I want to tell you about one little deal here they have. They have a service coupon. It's called The Works. It's $39.95. So you include, it gets a synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation and pressure check, brake inspection, vehicle checkup, fluid top off, battery test, filter check, belt and hoses check for $39.95. And I mean, I got away from changing my own oil years ago just because it's just a giant pain in the butt. So now I actually pay to have somebody do it. My dad, I can't tell him this. So if anybody knows my dad, do not tell him I don't change my own oil. He'll have a heart attack. But for the $39.95, you can get the works done. I love the tire rotation thrown in and this is synthetic blend oil change. But getting your service done out at Athens Ford, their service bay is fantastic. It is. I mean, the free drinks, you know, the great Wi-Fi, the comfortable chairs. You're not sitting in some dank, mangy, oil-covered seat, you know, that
atmosphere
the technician just got up out of, you know. So if you want a nice place to go, plus, you know, you're right there on the west end of Athens, you know, on Atlanta Highway. You're close to Sam's if you want to swing by there and do your shopping, you know.
Not too far from Academia.
Not exactly, right down from Academia. So I'm just saying, it's a good place to go to get a chance. And also, they don't have a EuroPie out that way, but you can come down closer to town and get a EuroPie. One last thing, I want folks, if you're looking to make money, make a lot of money, I want you to open a EuroPie franchise. And then after you've made your millions of dollars, call me up and give me a free pizza.
Just so we're all clear, we're trying to get out of doing this podcast by opening one of these. One day. I haven't figured out how to do it yet.
Once we have somebody open a franchise, then the whole point is once they're making a lot of money, then I want that little, you know, free pizza card. You know, free pizza for life. You know, Roddy, you recommended this. I'm able to put my kid through college because you recommended opening a EuroPie franchise. Free pizza for life.
Alan Jackson here with a good question. Not that Alan Jackson. I don't think. It could be. I don't know.
Well, we know Travis Tritt loves you. So.
I love Travis Tritt as well. I also love Alan Jackson.
He tweets at him.
Alan
tweeted at you.
Alan Jackson says, Coach, there's the two quarterback system. Georgia's kind of rotating guys in and out. He says, can a quarterback controversy ruin the locker room?
Not here. I just feel like both these guys – have tremendous respect among their peers. They, the kids here look up to them. They know that these guys are Georgia first. I thought Kirby made a good comment yesterday. These kids want to come to school here. They love the state. They love Georgia. And they both came here knowing that they had other guys here. You know, Fromm comes with Eason here, and he comes with at the time that Fields committed, we had both of them. So I don't believe it's a controversy at this point. I think it's a good situation that the coaches are using the guys that because they both deserve to play. I mean, they're both good players, and it's not you know, fair in a lot of ways to Jake because, you know, he got to play last year and he's incumbent. But at the same time, it's not fair to Justin to not give him a chance because he's good. So I think the coaches are doing all they can to be fair. They're doing it with the other positions. And Kirby said it when the season started, he was going to play it like that. So it won't be a controversy among the players because all these kids, our locker room is very positive. These kids know that the coaches are going to give everybody the fair shot, and it's not going to be a problem here.
That's always the biggest issue. I want to jump in on that.
Among the players now, at the end of the year, who knows? I mean, when you look at how things shake out, who knows what will happen. But I'm saying just as far as guys taking sides, you don't see that here.
When you see guys take sides on the team, in the locker room, when you have that locker room cancer, it's when they feel that there's politics being played, that there's favoritism, when a guy who is starting is unworthy. And, you know, then there's, of course, the interpersonal politics. Everyone likes this guy. He may be the second team guy. And so the
usually in a losing program, too.
I was just about to say. And then that gets exacerbated. Thank you. By a loss or two when things are going badly, then they say, you know, winning cures a lot of ills. I mean, you have a coach who yells at the media, maybe. You know, you have a coach who grabs a kid's face mask. You have a coach who uses improper language, you know. If you lose, all that stuff is blown up 100 times more. If you win, a lot of it's glossed over.
Agreed.
It's same thing goes on in the locker room and the morale of a team that's celebrating a win. If you didn't get in a whole lot of snaps, you know, you're not as mad as – if your team lost and you didn't get a whole lot of snaps, you're a lot more angry because you're like, if I'd been in there, that wouldn't have happened. So, or if my best friend, my roommate had been in, that wouldn't have happened. But if you win, then it's like, well, we're winning. So that covers a lot. That's a salve for a lot of wounds to ego.
And I'll tell you this, too. That comes across when you talk to guys in the recruiting world as well. They feel the same about Georgia. They say, look, you know, the reason I'm excited about this opportunity is they don't play politics. If I'm the best player, I'm going to play.
What about that kid Lewis Sign you just interviewed?
Lewis Sign, yeah. Definitely get over and check it out over at UGASports.com. Sign was very complimentary of the visit. Basically said, you know.
He said the same thing.
Yeah, he said, look, they're going to coach me hard. They want 100% every time. But they'll love me still, and you know, we'll make it happen. I mean, basically, you know, came off of his official visit, I think, with about as glowing of a review as he could have had. A very level-headed kid, taking a lot of things into account. So,
can you imagine?
Go check that one out.
I mean, these coaches' official visit during a game like that. I mean, you finish the game, then you got to go recruit. You don't have time to go enjoy it. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, you guys make a lot of money, but. With this early signing date, it's just a different ball game for you know. I rode past Kirby's house Sunday morning. They got all these cars out there because these people are coming in for official visit. I mean, you know,
I love
there's
it.
No let up. They're going at it hard all.
Well,
the time.
They were on the road Friday night, probably.
Absolutely, they were.
Oh, I know they were on Thursday night. You know, Coach Coley was down in Miami seeing Stevenson.
Yep.
Do you read our site?
Well, I don't read that stuff.
I mean, it's good stuff there.
No, I'm just saying they're
good
out.
Interview on them, man.
They're out Friday.
Hey, watch
Saturday,
what they get kids said.
Sunday.
You know, hey, we're number one, and Devon Wilson's already told me we're gonna get him. And
there you go.
That's what he says. He should know.
Yeah, Devon's been very, very gunk. Every time we talk to Tariq, he's like, Devon's on me.
That's good, though.
That Miami stuff is real.
If you live in another part of the country, and you don't know anybody, it's hard sometimes to make it. But all of a sudden, hey, Tyson Campbell went up there. Devon went up there. Must be something pretty good. Hey, Baker's playing. He's going to be a number top draft choice. I mean, we could have an all-Florida secondary.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Give me some linemen out of Georgia. Well, give me linemen out of Alabama. Give me a secondary out of Florida.
Come on, this is Georgia.
Give me some running backs out of Georgia and some quarterbacks out of Georgia and some defensive linemen out of South Georgia. I'm a happy man.
And give you some academia beer.
And some academia beer, I'm just saying.
All right, last one. I want to wrap up.
Beers,
I want to wrap up on this question.
That 9.6 will kill us, Coach.
Chadwick Ivory here closing us out, reminding us of one of my favorite segments of the show. He says, Who was the mouth-watering performer for the Tennessee game? I don't remember that. Maybe you guys do. But he says, who will it be for the Vandy game? Who's your mouth-watering performer of the game against the Vanderbilt Commodores, Coach?
You know, I've been terrible at predicting this because the guys get hurt every time I say something.
So he's the SI cover, Chris.
I went with Swift, and, you know, I just think somebody on defense is just going to have a King Kong game rushing the passer. I think we're going to see really get after this guy. I don't know which guy it'll be, but I think we're going to have a really good pass rush against these guys.
I could see that. I think that that lends itself obviously well to DeAndre Walker, who's on one right now. If I were picking maybe an off the radar guy, I'm going to say, how about this is the week Terry Godwin kind of gets back in the fold and starts to makes his impact felt again.
I would
again.
Make my mouth water.
I think that's a possibility for him. Also, hey, how about James Cook? I think that he's due up for maybe something pretty explosive. He's getting close on a couple of them.
I'm going Brenton Cox.
Brenton Cox?
Brenton Cox.
There you go. There
I think Brenton comes in. Again, it depends on, you know, how many snaps he gets, but I think you're about that you're almost at the midpoint of the season. He's getting faster, stronger, smarter. I think maybe this is a week Brenton Cox puts it all together. If I'm wrong, it's Jake's fault.
It always is.
Yes, that's how it works.
Sheriff Bill, man, it could be worse.
All right, I think that's all the time we got this week.
We're good, yep.
All right. Folks, be sure to tune in next Tuesday. We will have, I guess we'll have the mid-season show because that'll be six games in. And we'll be previewing the LSU contest.
And so we are going to have a special guest appearance from the head coach of the LSU Fighting Tigers.
There you go.
Yeah. So
he's going to come in here on a Hummer from JoJo's, and he's going to be ready for get out to Georgia.
So we'll have Ed Orgeron on the next week's show. So swing by next Tuesday at noon on the 11 Live Facebook page. And a quick shout-out to Athens Ford, Your Pie, Academia, Champions, of course, and 11 Live and 365 Game Day, of course.
Aaron Overhead Doors.
Don't screw those springs.
Call Robert Wall out of Cable East.
Yeah. Well, don't call him.
Don't call
him. There's nothing you can do. Anyway, thanks for watching, folks. We'll see you next week.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.